You are here at Briarcliff, and those are listening online, so good to see you. I'm sure you've heard of the statement, a penny for your thoughts. You know what comes to my mind when I hear that? Are my thoughts no more worthy than a penny? Do you know how valuable your thoughts are? Look at what the proverb writer says about your thoughts and how valuable and important they are. One translation says it this way: watch over your heart. Circle the word heart, with all diligence, for from it flows like a spring of life. But I like the way that today's English version puts it. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's more than a penny's worth, I'll assure you. Be careful how you think. The word think and the word heart is a word that is used synonymously many times in the scripture, providing us information about that the soul of us is part of that is our heart or our thinking. Say that with me one more time, that chapter 4, verse 23. Let's say it together. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now here's the problem, is that we're not okay. In our thinking, all of us have difficulty. All of us are all bent out of shape, and many times in the way that we think. Romans chapter 1. I want to just go through a little bit of Romans here for us to understand. Romans is probably the best explanation of the gospel that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. It starts off in chapter 1 of talking that your mind is all screwed up. It's basically what it says. That you don't think. A lot of your thinking is nonsense. So it just lays it out there that we are a fallen creature in the way that we think. But primarily through chapter 1, verse 11, the subject is really upon God's grace, that graciously he works in us to transform us. And then in verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 12 is what we're going to deal with this morning and understand that. So the wonderful thing about the gospel is what you want you to see this morning is a gospel is a transformation. It's good news about the transformation of everything about us, our soul. And we are not people that have a soul. We are a soul. Our soul packages together our mind, our thinking, our emotions, how we feel, our will, our decision-making, our body, all about us, our relationship to God and with one another. All that is encompassed in our soul. And it's all messed up. We're messed up in the way that we think. We're messed up many times in our emotions and the way we feel and our will and the things that we decide, sometimes many messed up. But the good news is, this is the gospel, is it's transformational. He has come to transform us. We're not okay, but the gospel has come to transform every part of us. So look in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I appeal to you, I beg you, and really is what he's saying, therefore simply saying, because of God's grace and mercy, because of his mercy, I appeal to you, therefore, that you present your bodies, the word bodies, just circle that. It's talking more about the flesh and blood. It's talking about everything that you are. We could also say that it's kind of like the soul. Present your bodies, your soul, all that you are to God. As a sacrifice, that is real worship. When you give to him everything that you are. Then verse 2. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. That's one of the words I want us to anchor on for just a moment. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform is a very interesting one. It's a Greek word that we get the word metamorphosis from. What is that? If a tadpole experiences metamorphosis, then what do they become? A frog. If a caterpillar in the cocoon experiences metamorphosis, they become a beautiful butterfly. Now, here's the important thing about this word that many times we would not catch. It's in passive form. What does that mean? It means you can't do it. You can't transform yourself totally. Only God. You have to allow someone else to transform. It is passive. All you can do is yield to that power to transform you. Many people try to transform themselves. You can't do it. Some of you want to live, well, I'll just turn over a new leaf and I'll live good enough and God will accept me because I've become such a good person. That is not adequate transformation. Only God can transform you. Now, the beautiful thing is he transforms. His work of the gospel of transformation is to transform everything about us, from our thinking to the way that we feel, to our relationships, to our will, and to our very body. Yesterday morning, we had a member of our church as comes to the early service. She'd battled cancer for 3 years and went to be with the Lord. I stood by her bed yesterday morning. Life was gone. And she gathered around the bed with her family. And there wasn't any of us around that bedside that if we'd had the power to do a metamorphosis, we'd have done it. But we can't. One day you will come to a point that life will be over. And the gospel is about transformation of your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, your relationships, and yes, your very body. Ultimately, the gospel is a transformation. And I thought as I sat there and I touched her body and I thought, one day, what I'm seeing here is the remains of someone that suffered cancer for 3 years. One day, metamorphosis, changed into something that's eternally beautiful and no more cancer. That's the transformation. Do you know that kind of transformation? You can't do it. It's this word is passive. You cannot do that for yourself. Anybody think you can do a metamorphosis on your dead body? No. Do you think you can change your soul? No. Only God and what he has provided us by his mercy. That's the first 11 chapters of Romans. By his mercy, he wants to transform, and you cannot do that. You cannot come to transform your soul that has fallen into a soul that will experience eternity. But what you can do, and our responsibility then is the next word, be you transformed by the what? By the renewing of what? Okay. There has to be a renewal, and this renewal is something that we do on a daily basis. It's a process that we continue to work. Now, so what's wrong with our mind? What's wrong with our thinking that we need to be transformed? Well, one thing is our mind is a fallen mind. When mankind sinned, it affected the way that we think. And now the Bible says that our minds are hostile toward God. They want to go in another direction. And it takes a daily work to renew. Any of you have a beautiful lawn that just automatically does that every single year? Now, what do you have to do? You have to do a continual renewal. You let it go and no renewal, and what do you have? Dandelions, all kinds of weeds, and it just looks terrible. It needs renewal. So it is with your mind. Be transformed by the renewing. And that is the work that we have to do, and God helps us for the rest of our life, is to transform. Now, let me tell you a couple of things that will not renew your mind. Education will not renew your mind. I wish that some way that we could open people's brain, you know, and just give them all kinds of education. And because they have all this education now, they've been renewed, and they're nearly a saint, you know. Because they have education. Education is extremely important. But knowledge doesn't change a whole lot without wisdom to know how to use the knowledge. Another thing that will not transform your mind is laws. Paul says, what the law could not do, God's mercy. God's mercy. Mom and Dad, have you ever wished, like everything, that you could make a law and it would transform the way your kids think? Did you ever said, what in the world were you thinking? And then you try to set a law. You ever do that again? And then you go ahead and finish what you'll do. Wouldn't it be great if we could set a law? And laws would transform our minds so that these laws that we create, and by the way, did you ever notice how new laws, how we have new laws every year? More laws than you can think of every year. They will not transform the way people think. We need more than just laws. You cannot form a law. And God in the scripture says, laws are limited. Only by God's mercy does He transform us and we can be renewed. Okay, now how do we go about doing that? Well, I think to do that, we have to be aware that there is an ongoing warfare and battle for the way you think. There are three forces that want to bomb your brain every single day and every moment of the day. If you're going to win the battle, you have to understand the enemy and where they're coming from. And you have to understand the artillery that you're going to use to fight against all those thoughts that come into your mind. You cannot renew your mind unless you know the enemy that you're dealing with. And then you can renew the mind. So, what are the three enemies that the scripture would say bombard, drop a bomb? There's brain bombs coming into you every day. What are they? Number one. It's interesting if you go back in chapter 7, verse 23, it mentions one of those enemies that are bombing you. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. There's a power within me, my old Lord nature, my fallen nature is at war. My fallen nature is an enemy. My fallen nature is always dropping ideas into my mind. Do you ever think sometimes you look back and said, what in the world was I thinking about? Have you ever done that? Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. You don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Say that with me. Don't believe everything you think. Do you think everything that you think is good, perfect, wholesome? No. You have to some way take a look and say, that is not a good thought. Have you ever had thoughts like this be bombed into your brain? You're no good. Or you look at somebody else and say, they're no good. Have you ever been kind of judgmental? You met somebody, and before you ever got to know them, you already was thinking, I don't think they're any good. I had a new pastor come to our church when I was a kid, and I immediately thought, I really like him, but his wife is no good. I found out later I was totally wrong. You may have someone at work, you know, and you've already thought, they are no good. They are no good. You just simply don't know all of what they're going through. Or you might not know the value. Charlene had a doctor when Timothy was born, and I thought he was no good. You know, he didn't have a good personality. You know, but I'll tell you what. She was in labor 24 hours, and I've told you before, I went home because it wore me out. And call me when there's more action, you know. And so I thought my thoughts changed completely. about him when he came in and took charge. He is extremely valuable. Have you sized up some people around you? You think, they're no good. They're no good. Just keep in mind, you'll never lock eyes with anyone this week, but what in God's sight, they are extremely valuable. So this thinking that we deal with is an old Lord nature, and unless we deal with that, some years ago, I met Chris Thurman. He was working for Menrith Meyer Clinic, if you're familiar with that. He's written a book on the lies we believe. And I had him to come and do a seminar and got acquainted with him, had some good conversations with him. I want you to see one thing he says in this book, The Lies We Believe. Most of our unhappiness and emotional struggles are caused by the lies we tell ourselves. And until we identify our lies and replace them with the truth, emotional well-being is impossible. That's how important your thoughts are. And your thoughts can believe a lot of lies. So don't believe everything that you think. So what do you do with that? You have to put a filter on your thinking. You know, your cars, your automobile has a fuel filter. And it's very important you let that go year after year, mile after mile. Have you ever had a clogged fuel filter? You stop because there's no flow there. It filters out the things that are not good, but it needs to be renewed. There has to be a filter on the way that we think. And so here's the filter. The filter is to focus on the good. The filter is to focus on the good. Here's the way Paul told Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8, and you're familiar with it. Finally, brothers, this is what you focus on. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is of lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, or is there anything worthy of praise? What does it say? Think about these things. Think about these things. Filter your thoughts. A filter filters out all of the junk, and you focus on the good. I don't know if you've ever been out in a field that has a big ditch in it, and when the rain comes down, all the water moves toward the point of downward, and it'll cut the ditch deeper and deeper. That's the way your mind operates, is that you think certain thoughts, and they go to the area of least resistance, and it continues to cut a ditch into your mind, that those thoughts become a habit. And you know what that is? That is your attitude. Attitude is simply a way or a habit of thinking. And so you may have developed a stinking attitude because you have thoughts that have not been filtered and that it can continue to cut a groove into your mind. And that is an attitude. So you have to filter. You have to filter and focus. Second, what would be another enemy that would be dropping bombs in your brain every day? Satan. Satan has a tremendous way of coming and dropping lies into our brain that appear to be very, very true. Look in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He has things that look really, really good. How do you deal with that? How do you know if a thought is coming from your old lower nature, or a thought is coming from Satan, or if a thought is an inspiration? You know, Satan will come with a thought that is a temptation. God comes with a thought that is an inspiration. How do you know the difference in all of those? They're very powerful, and I've told you before, when I was in high school, I had rheumatic fever. And of course, one of the concerns is that I might have a heart murmur after all that. So I was confined to bed for all summer long and told don't get out of bed for anything or it may, you know, cause you to have a heart murmur and that'd be the rest of your life. And so I'd be there in bed sometimes and I'd move around or I might try to get up and all that and I'd have some heart pain in my chest. And I think, oh man, I blew a circuit for sure, you know. And I just say, I need to go to the doctor. Dad would take me to the doctor. He'd check me all out. And he'd say, there's no problem. There's no heart murmur. And you know what? The pain went away. Because those thoughts were taken captive. That's how powerful the way that we think really is. You know, I could begin to create now in your mind, just think about a luscious meal of fajitas and beans and peppers do you feel your kind of getting moist in your mouth right now and it's watering because you're thinking, you know. But also, I had a psychologist, you know, I put my finger on a little thing here and he had me to think stressful thoughts. And it wasn't long until that thing began to buzz because there was chemical reactions in my body just by my thinking. Satan knows that. And the moment we believe a lie, it is the same as if it were true. When I believed something that was not true, it had a hold of me. So what do you do? What do you do? Look in this 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a lie that you believe. And when you believe that, it's got you. By the way, you're familiar with Ephesians where it says, put on the whole armor of God. What's the first piece of armor? Up the top, top priority. What's the first piece of armor? Do you know? Put on the whole armor of God. And then he begins to list the armor. The first piece of armor is what? The belt of truth. If you understand the armor of the soldiers, then they had all of this armor on, but what held it all together was the belt. And so he said, the first thing, put on the belt of truth. It holds it all together. Without that, it all falls apart. So what we have to do is to identify the law, the lie, and replace it with something else. Do you know you can only think of one thing at a time? I didn't believe that when I was first told that because your mind can switch back and forth so quickly that you think you can watch TV and do your homework and talk on the phone all at one time. Well, you can. You know, your mind is going like this. And you can only think of one thing at a time. And you can't kick it in neutral. For example, let's just see. All of you that right now are thinking about nothing, please stand. How can you not think of something? You can't turn your mind. In the middle of the night, you wake up, man, it's still cranking, isn't it, huh? In fact, it's cranking so rapidly, sometimes you have a hard time getting back to sleep. Your mind never stops. But you're only thinking one thing. So you take captive. You take captive these strongholds and make them obey, make them go in the right direction. What you do is this water flowing down the hillside, moving toward the point of least resistance. The only thing you can do is dam up that ditch and reroute the water. But you can block that stronghold and reroute it, rechannel it another direction. Well, there's one more enemy. What was the first one? Man, I'm so impressed at how effective I am. And the first enemy is what? This old Lord nature inside of us. It is powerful. What is the second enemy? And the third enemy is the world. The world. The world view of things. In other words, when it talks about the world in the Bible, many times it means a kind of thinking that leaves God out. That's what the world is. And that becomes an enemy for us because we think of these things that's all about us. Go back to verse 2 of chapter 12. Do not be conformed to what? This world. Or J.B. Phillips translate this way, don't let the world squeeze your mind into a mold. The world is always dropping subtle things in our mind that's all about me, very selfish, very selfish. And marketers today know how to play that up big. They can take your mind and they will many times form it into the way you think unless you're very cautious about those thoughts of the world. Just think about the influence of the world. It is a powerful influence. Our value system in our world today, is that different? Is that different than, say, 10, 20, 30 years ago? Do you see what's happening in a world of a value system that's moving and edging God out? And that will edge God out of your thinking also. And it needs not to be conformed, but to be transformed and renewed. You have to renew your mind day by day by day. And you renew it and you focus on the truth. That's the reason why you need to take the scriptures every single day and open them up and let God speak to you. Learn more and more about the truth. Get the truth ingrained more and more in you. And it becomes a great filter to protect you from, what is the first enemy? Your old Lord nature. Second one? Satan. And the third one is? And knowing the truth and letting God's truth work in your mind will change you from a consumer to a committed follower. By the way, why do you typically go to church? Are you here primarily to get something out of it and you say, the preacher didn't do very good, I don't think I'll go back? Now, I know you never think that, but just theoretical. You know, many people go to church because they're a consumer. They want to get something. And if they don't get what they want, then I don't think I need to go back. A lot of people are not in church today because they're consumers. And they don't think the church has anything to offer to them. So they don't give it another thought. The reason why that we are so adamant about serving around here, and believe me, this church will exist without you. Do you realize that? You're not indispensable, not a one of us. The church can make it without you, but you cannot make it without serving the Lord in the church to become one. Look at what Albert Schweitzer said. I think he was so right. He said, one of this I am certain, the only ones among you who are truly happy are those who have sought and found how to serve, giving yourself as a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of, some translation says service, others say worship. And unless you have that kind of service or mindset going on, you'll never become all totally what God wants you to be in a healthy, healthy soul. Well, good news, there is help. Because you can't do all this. It's over us. It's beyond us. So look in chapter 8, and I'm going to just give you a few things here. Chapter 8, verse 6, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So you have to let the Spirit that lives within you as a Christian. Verse 13, Through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, the sinful mind. Puts them to death. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So you're not alone to renew your mind every day. We're going to sing a song that I asked Luke to do in the worship service, and I want to come back and do just the chorus of it again. It says, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. I'd like that to be your prayer this morning. And I'd like for you to just bow your head and close your eyes. And in your own mind right now, just say, take my heart and mold it. Pray this, take my mind, transform it. Say this to God, take my will, conform it to yours, to yours. That's our prayer, Lord, and it's our song. And we want to sing it to you as our prayer right now of commitment to yield to you, to yield totally to you for Christ's sake. Amen.